it's terrible what you say, that the horsemen have heads of lions and they belch smoke and fire and sulfur and they're going to kill so many people. Martin, it's terrible. How can you be so judgmental? How can you say that God is so judgmental over these things? It sounds so dreadful, Martin. We don't believe that things could be so dreadful. Martin Zender here. How could they? You don't realize how dreadful the religions of the world are. That's right. I'm giving you a little bit of color today. Those of you who are watching, there seems to be an echo in here. I feel like I'm at the Rose Bowl or something. Madison Square Garden. I'm getting a reverb here. I'm currently in Birmingham, Alabama. Beautiful Alabama, sweet home Alabama, at the generosity and hospitality of Steve and Laura Johnston. So I'm giving you, to celebrate all of this, I'm giving you a touch of color here on the show this entire week. Let's do that. And I'll button another button here on my shirt. Sorry about that. So, you know, people just don't realize the seriousness of religious depravity and false teaching until you see how God deals with it. And when you see how God deals with it, then you get an indication of how bad it has been all along. But when people who are in it and they're used to it, they don't realize how bad it is. I'll put on the voice again. How bad can it be to tell lies about God? Martin, how bad can it be to lie about God, to defame his character, to talk about how helpless he is and how weak the Savior was? How bad is that? That's what you want to know? It's so bad that God kills the noxious religions with noxious fumes. And this is, how would you say, this is divine genius here. It's a taste of the old medicine. Because just as the deadly gases stifle the physical breath, and that's what we have coming out of the horses' mouths, and people are killed by the fire, the fumes, the smoke, the sulfur, and you take a breath and it stifles your breath and it kills you. It's like you're in a house. Many people who die in a fire, they don't die of the fire, they die of smoke inhalation, and it overcomes you quickly. So if it helps anybody, it is good to know, for me, that you're not going to die necessarily from a writhing, agonizing death. You're going to take a breath of the noxious fumes that are dispensed by these horsemen and you will die. They stifle the physical breath. That's what they do. Are you getting as much as an echo as I am in these headphones? Anyway, all right, maybe it's epicness. I don't know. Maybe it'll add to the solemnity of my message here. So the doctrines of demons, likewise, the doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul mentions doctrines of demons. They are put forward by the false religions today. And again, as I have said over and over, they stifle the life of the spirit. They stifle it. They bury it with all sorts of false ideas about God. And though you would say or think that these judgments are terrible, and they are, but they're not nearly as terrible. They're not so bad, actually. When you see that God is killing people with noxious fumes, it's not so bad. When you compare it to, and this is the shock for people, when you compare it to the poison teaching that has stifled the breath of life, that has stifled people's spiritual desires. Jesus talked about the seed that was spread and some of it is choked. And when people have a curiosity about God, they go to their pastors. Well, Martin, this sounds good, but I have to check with my pastor. That's the death knell. How many times have I given the truth to people and they got to check with their pastors? And then they come back and, of course, the spirit has been knocked out of them. And so it's not so awful when you consider the spiritual asphyxiation of people. So what could be more appropriate than the physical asphyxiation of the religions and their devotees? Oh, and somebody wrote me at the end of last week and wondered, how is it that a literal that literal beasts are going after figurative beasts. She had a problem with this. And I understood it. And I tried to think myself, yeah, that is kind of strange. Because I told you on Friday that physical beasts, if you will, that come out of the place that where they are under the Euphrates River, they are supernatural beings or beasts. And I said they're literal. The horses are real. The riders are real. And yet they're coming against figurative beasts, but I made a big deal of it. I made a big deal that it's beast versus beast. And that, of course, the four beasts of the religions, the lioness, leopardess, she-bear, and the monstrous. But then I thought, well, why not? It's just how it is. I was wondering if maybe there was an inconsistency here, but then the more I thought about it, I thought, well, I don't know if it's inconsistent or not, but it's just the truth that literal beasts are going after figurative beasts. The common denominator is beast, whether it's literal or figurative, just like death. The common denominator of death, whether it's literal or figurative, is non-responsiveness. Either you're, I don't get it. That's figurative death. You're just non-responsive to spiritual truth, or you're literally dead, which looks like this. Same truth, non-responsiveness. Likewise, there's a similar truth, similar reality between the literal beasts coming after the figurative beasts, and that is, it's bestial. That's all you have to know. It's bestial. So the problem is that we have become accustomed to these religions and their teaching. That's the entire problem. That's why everybody, not everybody, you don't, thank you, but a lot of people think I'm mean, to be so mean to religions. Look how mean God is to them. He kills them with poisonous gas. Kills them with poisonous gas. Because I see through it, and I've been inviting you to see through the false front, the hypocrisy, the nice face, the systematizing behind this deception. Now, when it comes to religious ritual, fire and sulfur are part of it. This is another divine retribution, which is quite clever because it takes the very things that are used to worship false gods, fire, smoke, ritual. Even the Catholic Church has their fire. You remember they have the censer. And it's so near to the heathen ceremonies and sacraments. And I'll never forget when my mom died, you know, they had the casket out in front of the altar. Very disturbing. And the priest would take that censer. And what is a censer? It's incense. There's stuff in there that's been set on fire. And the smoke comes out. And they make it smell good. And the priest goes, and he walks around that casket, and the smoke comes out, and everybody's like, oh, something magical is happening. No, nothing magical is happening. But what is happening here with the smoke and the fire being belched from the horses is death. But what the Catholic Church brings to many people is spiritual death. Not literally death, of course, because spirit and death are contradictory terms, but it brings a figurative death, the Catholic Church does. You become unresponsive. You think you're getting fed, but you're not. So fire is actually sacred in many of the cults, and so are fumes. People like this thing with smoke rising. People do like to stare at fires, do they not? I like to stare at a campfire. It's mesmerizing. This is what religions have done. They've mesmerized people with the smoke and the fire. Now, sulfur. Sulfur is used by many religions. I'm going to tell you a big misunderstanding that happens with sulfur, especially when we get to the lake of fire. But in ancient times, sulfur was most closely connected with religious rites, and it was considered a necessary purifier. We're going to purify things with this sulfur. And this is the problem people have, is that the Greek word that is translated sulfur in the concordant version is Theon. What does the King James make that? They make that brimstone. I don't know why brimstone, but it's sulfur. And the Greek word is Theon. Now, it is true that this is also the root word of Theos, which is God. So many people will see the sulfur and the fire. They see this word Theon and they go, well, this is God fire. Well, it's not that it's capital G God fire. It is the simple fact that sulfur was commonly used in the worship of gods, small g and a plural at the end. So it's given that Greek term because of its association, but it does not necessarily mean that it is that God is in that fire, that the God of the universe is in the fire. Many people make this mistake when they get to the lake of fire that is burning with fire and sulfur, and they say, oh, see, it's burning with sulfur. That means that God is there, and that means that these people are being refined and purified because as they have a degree of intelligence here because they know that sulfur was used in false worship of false deities to purify people somehow. I don't know how they do it. I've never been involved in any of these heathen rituals. I'm sorry, I can be of no help there. So they see the sulfur and they get all excited. God's in the lake of fire. Well, they forget this main part, and we're going to get into this in detail in Revelation chapter 20. The lake of fire is the second death. Except for three supernatural beings, the beast, the adversary, and the false prophet. And for them, the sulfur actually does work as a cleansing agent. But it doesn't work that way for human beings because human beings are not cleansed by fire and sulfur. They're killed by fire and sulfur. And I will continually remind you of the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah who, when the fire and sulfur descended from heaven, instantly died. They were not tormented, and certainly not for eternity, and not even for an eon in that fire. It killed them. Likewise, the fire and sulfur from the mouths of the horses kill people. They're not tormented. The locusts torment people. They have no license to kill. Let me see your license to kill. I ain't got a license to kill. I only got a license to torment. Okay, go right ahead. But the horses are different because they have a license to kill. And toward that effect, they use a sulfur. And again, how appropriate. Does God have a little bit... Yes, I'm actually about to see a silver lining here. Does God have a little bit of a sense of humor? I mean, it's not to say this is funny, but does God have a little bit of a... tongue in his cheek here when he uses sulfur to kill people who have used sulfur in their false worship? Or to be even more metaphoric about it, who asphyxiate people who, through their false teachings, have asphyxiated the world, taken their breath, any hint of the breath of life, snuffed out any natural curiosity about God, taking the snuffer. You remember that thing? I was never an altar boy, but they took those snuffers and they snuffed the life out of the candles. The candles were snuffed out and the smoke came. And this church and all the other churches have gone on and on and on, snuffing people out, snuffing out candles, snuffing out the breath of life, the curiosity about God for 2,000 years. People have died in ignorance because of these churches, and I say it's high time that they too be snuffed out, not metaphorically, but literally.